Three, two, one. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations.
Yeah.
We're back, and today we're going to be continuing on our conversation with love. But first, if you haven't watched the last one, I cried in the last one, so if you're into that, catch the first one.
Go watch him cry.
Big cry, baby.
Yeah.
Watch him be a sook in the last one.
Oh.
That's a good cry.
We're going to continue on. So, to my right is Gerard.
Hello.
And to his right is J-Mo.
G'day.
To his right is Guara.
Hello.
And to her right is Keith.
Hello.
And what we're going to cover this episode is the practical way to walk in love. So we talked about God's love in the last episode, but now we're going to talk about scripture and how to start walking in it and like the scripture to stand on and walk with. All right, so yeah, what does it mean to walk in love? Gerard, let's go with Gerard.
All righty. So I want to pull out some scripture. So let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Taking you to a Bible study, baby. Okay, so 1 John 2, 6. If you don't know where 1 John is, go all the way to the back of the Bible and then turn left and you'll find it. 1 John 2, 6. Whoever says he abides in him, Jesus, or to walk in the same way in which he walked. What does it mean to walk in love? So if you look at God, in 1 John as well, it says God is love, right? So if you want to walk in love, you're going to be walking in the same way that Jesus walked. That's the plain answer. So to walk in love is to walk with Jesus, walk in Jesus. It's to have Jesus so at the center of your life that you are compelled by his compassion for people. You are compelled by his love to love people. So being one with Christ and walking in the same way that he walked. And you can find out the way he walked in all of the Gospels. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are four different accounts of Jesus doing the same thing from four different perspectives. And you can see the compassion. You can feel the love. There's this one moment in scripture that I wanted to mention in the last podcast where Jesus, at the end of Matthew, says, "Behold, I am with you until the very end of the age." And that love was with the disciples. Because at that moment, they're all scared, right? And then God, being love, compelled them. And there's moments in scripture as well where he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." Right? So there's the example of Jesus' love. Jesus says, "No man has greater love than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends." So he laid down his life for his friends. So he laid down his life. Yeah. So that is the example of love that we have. So this is what it means to walk in love, to walk in Jesus, to walk in the same way that Jesus walked.
Mm. Yeah. Gemma.
Yeah, pretty much just what Gerard said is to walk in love is to walk in following of the sample that Jesus set before us. Mm. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Mm. So that means that his ways become our ways. His truth becomes our truth, and his life becomes our life, our lifestyle. So to walk in love is for us to do the best that we can in following the sample that he set, doing things the way he did things, approaching people the way he approached people, viewing people the way he viewed people. And, you know, this is I believe this is something that we all develop. It's not something that we just all have to that extent. You know, as we become disciples, we become students, we become followers of Jesus' teachings, and we then become trained in that area through the Holy Spirit, through our fellowship between one another, through the church as well. Because we've all come from positions where loving people wasn't that easy. And now we've come into a place where we are now renewed and are being renewed. Okay, so we have been renewed and we are still being renewed. So to walk in love is to simply just to do our best in following and trusting in God will help us live out the life that he did through love.
Yeah. A perception I used to have is that walking in love means that you're happy all the time and you're always like, so is it that?
No. No. I'd say definitely not. Like, and I'll use my own relationship with Guara, for example. It's not happy days all the time. Because there are happy moments, definitely, but there are moments where we are going to argue. There are moments where we are going to fight, but it's not that we want to tear each other down. You know what I mean? We sometimes we have opposing understandings of things, but then once we come to alignment, the perspective is matched. But it's not going to be happy all the time. We still love each other regardless. It's just that it's not always going to be happy. It's not always going to be lovey-dovey. It's not always going to be peaceful. If anything, that the true love is going to attract persecution because it goes against the norm. God's standard of love is different to the world's standard of love. So if the way the world sees how our love is, often they're going to disagree with it because it's not the way God's love is. Oh, sorry, it's the way that God's love is that they don't agree with. So is it going to be happy all the time? Absolutely not. But it's worth it every single time.
Mm. Yeah, Guara.
How to walk in God's love, right?
Yes, what does it mean to walk in God's love?
What does it mean to walk in God's love? Yeah, so first and foremost, you have to have the Holy Spirit in you. Mm. Because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, right?
Amen.
That's in Galatians. Let's read that quickly. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, the first one is love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So first and foremost, to be able to walk in love, you have to have the Spirit of God in you. Because naturally, we cannot love people on our own. It's not possible for us to love like everyone, right?
Yeah.
But only God. In Ezekiel, it says that God will give us a new heart, a new spirit, and we will walk in His statutes if we walk with His Spirit, yeah? And that's also in Galatians, actually, in verse 16, chapter 5, 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, yeah? For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So, yeah, you cannot love people naturally. You have to have the Holy Spirit in you, because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's love. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like love is not a feeling.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Amen. Keith.
I just wanted to read, I'll start with a scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 13, and it's verse 4, and this is the Apostle Paul. It's, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude and does not act unbecomingly. What I've learned from my experience and my walk with God is that love is in it for the long term. Love just doesn't commit for 1 week. We're in it from God is beginning to end. If we want to walk in love, we want to be in. We want to be with God from beginning to end. We want to fulfill our purpose right until the end. We want to treat people the right way, all the way up to the end. You know, we have a goal, we have a purpose here on earth. We want to fulfill that. We have to walk in everything, you know, just as Jesus walked with God. We want to walk in that same nature. We want to be patient. We want to be kind. We want to see people the way God sees people. How many times have we just ignored someone on the way to work, or we're feeling a bit, you know, thinking about ourselves too much, and we don't take time for other people to even think, oh gosh, that's a person, that's a human being, they're valuable. I know this, but I don't feel like talking to them. You know, I've been there myself. But the truth is, love pursues truth. And what I get here is that God is light. We are to be that light. We are to bring people to truth out of love. We're not interested in just sugarcoating people that they're still doing their wrongdoings and making mistakes, because no one has taken the time to tell them the truth that will set them free. The love of God, that no matter what you've done, God loves you. He may not like what you've done, but He loves you for who you are. So yeah, love continues right to the end. It endures. It overcomes. It celebrates truth. We want to be able to be an example to people and have His light and love and light and truth come out in such a real way that they're just, yeah, forever changed. Mm. And yeah, like for me, it's taking opportunity that, you know, each day I have an opportunity to see God's glory, to see someone experience what I have been given myself. Freely I have received, freely I give. How can I not share who God is to somebody out there? Are we in it just for a church membership? Are we in it to be an example to the ones around us? Because it's someone's eternity that we're dealing with here. There's a heaven and there's a hell. If we don't take the time to be in tune with what God's saying to us each day, we're going to miss the opportunities that he's already prearranged for that person to be blessed, to say, you know what? God loves you. You've made mistakes. Sometimes people just need to be reassured that the past is the past. You don't need to take on the past anymore. You don't need to stay in the same struggles anymore. God's not punishing you because you made a mistake. There's lots of different lies out there, but they need people. And I praise God for the one, the end, the people around me, even today as I speak, that they will point me to Jesus and point me to truth and not just sugarcoat something and pat me on the back saying it's going to be okay without being an example. And not, you know, it's like me walking past a homeless person, never given a time and day to say hello, to give them food. God's all about action, right? And love is a doing word, not just thinking or saying words, but following through with action. That sometimes people need money. Sometimes people need a hug. Sometimes people need to hear that Jesus can set them free from their addiction. Sometimes people need to hear that you can come to church. You know, you may not have the latest branded clothes. You may look different to everyone else, but God's interested in your heart. And we have to provide that opportunity for people to come in just as they are. But God's not interested just for us to stay as we are and the way, you know, we've been brought up. He wants us to experience who he made us to be. And when we dig in and when we find out who we are to be, we want to change. We want to bless. We want to position ourselves, really, really, you know, reach out to people, because that's what it's all about. If I didn't change my heart and think, Lord, there must be more than just thinking about myself. Other people need to hear what I've experienced. Other people need to hear how God loves me and how God can love them and how God actually loves them. How can I keep that to myself, man? Yeah, we're so fortunate and blessed with, you know, the people who praise God for men and women who are preaching the gospel, who are teaching the word in some of our families as well. We've been brought up and they've told us about God, but it comes to down to a relationship and a personal revelation of what you're going to do with what you've been given. Yeah.
Yeah. God's business is people.
Mm. Yes.
And it's like, that's the reason why we're still here as opposed to just going straight to heaven after we get saved. You know, we're here to reconcile the lost. Mm. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah. And that to me is what walking in love means, exactly what Keith is talking about. Like, the people around you have their eternity at stake.
Yeah.
And it's a love action to tell them the truth. So 1 Corinthians 13, what Keith was reading, the part that talks about, 1 Corinthians 13:6, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. So it's just like what Jamison and Guada's relationship, if they were, like how they argue, it's not just all happy and lovey-dovey all the time. Otherwise, that would just be Jamison tolerating and Guada just tolerating. And love isn't tolerant. And I think that's another difference between God's love and world's love. Because the world thinks love is tolerating. Mm. It's like, just leave me alone. You know, I'm not hurting you. Just love. Like, just love and tolerate and ignore people going to hell. Or people making their lives hell because of not obeying the Lord's word. Yeah. God's word.
There's a scripture in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the words of Jesus. He says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Sometimes love, it doesn't feel good. Sometimes, you know, like Jamison Guadalupe was saying, love hurts sometimes. But you need it. People are out there doing stuff that hurts them, and no one is telling them because they think tolerance is love, like you were saying. But in reality, if someone's about to jump off a cliff and they're blind, right? Like, there's this mad misconception in the Christian church today where, oh, you know, we're just going to love him. We're just going to love her. She's working with God through it. And you can see them about to jump off the cliff, right? No, we're just going to love. No, you're going to be like, hey, dude, there's a cliff there. Come here, let me help you out a little bit, because he's blind, right? Love speaks, love helps, love reproves and disciplines. Jesus reproves and disciplines. Sometimes love isn't exactly what aren't the words that we want to hear sometimes, right? Like Jesus says, be zealous and repent here. So there's all these different things. In the letter to the churches, he rebukes all of these churches saying, I like this about you, I like this about you, but this is what I have against you. One of them, he says, you left your first love, right? So there's all these different things. And Jesus carefully writes these letters. He reveals all these messages for these churches in Revelation out of love, because he wants the best for them. He points out weaknesses in these churches because he wants the best for them. Yeah. Jesus has the best at heart for you. Yeah. So there, the misconception that, oh yeah, we're just going to love them through it, even if you're not going to, like, they're not going to do anything about it, even if it's wrong. Like the scripture says, love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. So we have two scriptures that line up. If they're doing something wrong, you got to reprove and discipline them, because that's the best thing that you can do. And those that reprove and discipline, the rebukes and stuff, it's not out of a hatred for them, it's out of a love for them, because you want the best, you have the best interests at heart for them. So yeah, just wanted to clear the air about that misconception about, oh yeah, we're just going to love them through this, and, you know, stop that. Like, seriously, quit making Christianity and the love of God this fuzzy wuzzy thing. Sometimes it is a hug, like Jella was saying. Sometimes it is a hug, sometimes it's tears, but sometimes it's a rebuke from a friend. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about this love is love movement?
Well, like we said in the last podcast, the conception that that the world has of love is different to what love actually is. People can come at Christianity is probably the most hated religion in the world right now. Someone mentions they're a Christian and like, oh yeah, never mind, don't want to talk to you anymore. It's one of those religions and denominations and whatever you want to call it, where it's deemed as outdated and all these different stuff. But the love of God is never outdated. But anyway, the love is love. Yeah, but what love are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, there's in the scripture, we covered it today at church, there's different kinds of love. There's the agape love of God. There's the eros love, the phileo love. There's all these different types of love. Which love is the world talking about? It certainly isn't agape. I can say that. It's not agape, because the love of God does not rejoice at wrongdoing. So the love of God has the best interest at heart. Like I said in the last podcast, there's this saying in the church where you don't have to like him, you just have to love him. And we mentioned that it was a wrong teaching, because Jesus likes them. And he loves them. He might not like what they do, but he loves them. There's a highlight on the TikTok, bro, that blew up, and it was a view. God hates sin. He doesn't hate the person, because sin defiles you. That is the essence of what God's love is, because he has, like I've said, he has his best interest for you. In, I think it's the Psalms where it says, if I were to count your thoughts for me, they'd outnumber the grains of sand. And all of these thoughts that God has for us are good. Every single one of them are good. Like, sometimes I struggle to have, like, you know, a handful of good thoughts about myself. But for God to say that I have a whole world of sand of good thoughts about you.
Yeah, praise God. So we'll move on to the next question. How do you walk in love? And I'll start. So before you can even do it, you have to know what love is, and what the love that we're talking about. As Gerard said, there's many types. But the love that we're talking about in walking in love is agape. And all of that is detailed in 1 Corinthians 13. So the agape love that we're talking about, it's listed out what it is and what it isn't. So love is patient and is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And then I'll just skip to the end. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So everything that's listed out in that, in this passage, is what love is. And like what Guado was just sharing earlier, that is a long ass list. Like, you can't do that naturally. Walking in love means walking in God. It means walking in the Spirit. And we, as we heard, love is not a feeling, it's a fruit. So it's a fruit of the Spirit. And Him loving through you, rather than you trying to look at this list and try to do it. Because at the end of the day, it won't be genuine. Like, it'll eventually, you'll get to that point where it's like, I don't have to like them, I just have to love them. Like, through gritted teeth, love them. But like, in your heart, you don't love them. Yeah. You don't even like them. But what you're saying is you love them. And there's this disconnect. But with the Holy Spirit, and when you're walking in the Spirit, that love becomes genuine because it's a fruit of the Spirit, yeah, rather than of your own. Does anyone have anything to add in terms of how to walk in love?
Yeah, just pretty much what you're saying, man. Just yielding to God. We heard that today in church. Like, as you pursue God, as you pursue love, what's inside of you changes. God supernaturally changes your character. So like you say, we don't have to try and force our way into God-like character. But as we seek Him, God's character becomes developed because of His Holy Spirit working through us, with us. So for us to walk in love, we have to yield into His Spirit. We have to be one and connected with His Spirit, inclining our ears to Him and joining our lives with Him, doing everything a part of our lives with Him, which always results in love. Because that's what God is all about. It's all about love. So everything that we do with Christ, through Christ, in purpose for Christ, will always come back to love. Because God is love, and that's what His purpose is about.
Yeah, the goal of our instruction is love.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So to keep things simple, it's just, yielding to Him and seeking Him in His Word as well. Mm. Finding out how Jesus practically did that and just following along.
Do you have any examples of you loving someone that's hard to love?
I don't have an exact example, but I have something that has helped me with that. So as I mentioned in the previous podcast, I was a very judgmental person. I would look at you and immediately make a judgment about you and categorize you in a certain category, whatever. So there was a scripture here that really changed my life. And we actually had a conversation about this before, and I remember it impacted you too. So in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and in one mind." And this is the part that really impacted my life and my view of people. It says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves." That is huge. That goes against everything that the world teaches. Yeah. The world teaches, like, put me first. I got to put me first. I don't care what anyone thinks. I got to put me. That's what they say, right? Put me first. Sorry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, there's a trend. There's
it's
a trend.
It's so true.
I got to put me first.
I didn't even know that. You guys, that just confirms everything I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, I've even heard the perspective. This is coming from another Christian saying that I will not bring myself down to your level. You have to come up to mine. And see how that's so twisted? It's self-seeking. It's selfish ambition. And in fact, the word says that selfish ambition is actually demonic. So this scripture shifted my mind to see that others are more significant than myself. The same way Jesus came down and washed His disciples' feet, this is the King of all kings, the most powerful man on earth, washing the feet of his disciples. And I won't like mention any specific names, but I've had friends who, like I said, back in high school, if I would look at them, I would laugh and say, I would basically bully them behind closed doors and make fun of them. But then God shifted that perspective so that when I saw them next, it's like, consider them more valuable than you. No, sorry, not more valuable, but more significant than yourself. And that really changed my perspective, because through that lens, it allowed compassion to work through me. It allowed how I would speak to them change. My heart for them changed. And that word, I hope it encourages you, but it really did impact me. And it goes on, sorry. It says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. So if I were to summarize that whole scripture, is that one word, servant, servanthood. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve others.
Mm. Yeah. Love does not seek its own.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have something to say?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so, Jameson was talking about how that, we were talking about it before and it impacted me. It was when we were talking about preferences. At this time, I was like, I won't let anyone call me queer. And it's
oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. Remember?
This is at my parents' house, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's like, I cringe if someone calls me queer. And queer means brother, by the way, in Tagalog. And I won't let someone, I would like tell them off if they call me queer. And then you said you allow it to this certain person. And I'm like, why, bro? And then you told me that verse and I was like, you didn't know that I was like completely wrecked inside. I'm like, oh, because in my mind, like Jamison's a younger Christian than me. And he's rebuking me. I'm like, oh my gosh. And it's like, I realized like I'm putting myself first and like, that's what they want to do. And it's not bad that they call me queer. So I renewed my mind. Now it's okay. But
queer.
I had a similar experience. When I went to the Philippines, my uncle, he's a pastor there. He's like, oh, do you want to share at church? I was like, okay. I was still like a year, 2 years into the into being Christian. So I share at church, I share my testimony. After church, people call me pastor, this, that. And I'm like, no. I'm not a pastor. Just call me Gerard. That's fine. So the whole, what the word says, counting people more significant than yourself. Like I don't want people looking at me as this, you know, high person where it's just like, you know, in authority, you know, Borat says, king of the castle, right? Like I don't want people looking at me like that. I just want to be seen as a brother. Yeah. That's just like a family member, a really close friend. So yeah, totally agree with that scripture, bro. That's really good.
Mm. Yeah. So what is the difference between being a doormat and walking in love? Because we talked about how love is servanthood and love is not seeking its own.
Yeah.
Like at what point does that become too far and you've become a doormat and is weak? Someone who's weak?
Yeah. So I think to understand that is you first have to understand your value.
Yeah.
You have to understand that you are valuable to God.
Yeah.
And that, you know, like you said, it's not about tolerating, you know. As a son of a king, you're not going to tolerate being bullied. You're not going to tolerate being discriminated. Yes, we get persecuted, but there's also a point in time where we have to draw the line. And like you said, Jesus wasn't just some hippie that let things happen. He addressed things too. When he saw that they turned the church into the marketplace, what did he do? He came in and he flipped all the tables and he chased them out with a whip. What's you know, that's not Jesus saying turn the other cheek. He's addressing an issue here and making it evident you guys need to stop this. Because he knew at that time the value that has been misvalued, if that's even a word. Undervalued, sorry, yeah, that's the word there. Same with us. You have to understand that you are valuable to the king. There is a time and place that we have to turn the other cheek, but then there's also a time we have to realize when we're being stomped on, when we're being discriminated, and that's not acceptable. Just like Gervais saying, love also is a rebuke. Yeah. Love is also discipline. And because God is also a God of justice, he believes in justice as well. So, yeah. Don't fall into the trap of being a doormat. Understand that you do have value, and that just because you are a believer, just because you are a person of love, it doesn't mean you have to be put into a place of being put down.
Mm. Does anyone have anything to add to that?
Yeah, with that, it's not just tolerating whatever comes. Whatever, Lord, whatever. Many things come with a relationship with God. And one of those things that comes and we can continually ask for is wisdom. And when we feel like it, and sometimes it's just a feeling and it may not even be real that it is actually happening, but we feel like some people are just taking advantage or, you know, like a dispenser, right? You're giving all your time and energy to something or to someone and you feel like, oh, God, I feel like I'm just, you know, I'm just giving and giving and giving out. And why do I feel this way? Why do I feel a bit cold with people? And God's been speaking to me about this as well, and from experience, is that when you feel like this, sometimes what you need is wisdom and discernment. You need to identify what's right for you right now and what's wrong. And because I know that not only God sends people into your life, but the devil can send people into your life who can cause you to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, to pull you away, to distract you, to take away from you. And just remember, everybody listening, that God's always interested in adding and multiplying. He's in the business of multiplication. We look at Adam and Eve, right? He's in the business of be fruitful and multiply. So anything that you think and that you know within that may be just taken away from you, you feel like the enemy is giving you a hard time and is just trying to steal everything, it's time to check in. Check in with your heart. Check in with God, saying, Lord, I need wisdom. Because you just don't go and give and give and give and give and burn yourself out. You need to be in the right place. I remember just hearing many evangelists in interviews, right? And they're saying, if you did one thing differently, what would you do? I said, I'd probably travel to less places because I would really tune in to know where I'm supposed to be at that specific time. I want to be in the right place at the right time, and I just don't want to go because I feel like I want to go myself. Like, people were asking me to go, or churches invited me to come over to their place to preach, to teach. But I'm thinking, oh, maybe that wasn't priority. It's all about knowing where you're supposed to be at the same time. And yeah, we're not meant to be sent everywhere. You know, Jesus said and did everything that the Father told him to do. He spent time at the mountain. He spent time in prayer. He spent time in his private sanctuary finding out what he needs to do and where he needs to go. And he was positioned in the right place at the right time, I believe, when we read the word. And it's the same with us. We don't have to tolerate everything. We just have to be true to ourselves and check in our own heart, you know, and examine ourselves. And find out, is there anything that is blocking me from being like a vessel that's just wants to outpour, but something's blocking that. I feel a bit uneasy. I feel like I'm being used, but it's more about, I want to be that person who says, yes, God, I'm going to go at this place. I'm going to go here at this time. I'm tuned into what you're telling me to do, not what I think is good or what I think is out of my own selfish ambition to be seen, to be heard, and all the glory go to myself. I want to be in a position where all glory goes to him, and you got to check that with your heart. So yeah, wisdom is a huge thing. What I've experienced, really knowing how to deal with people. Sometimes dealing with people is not always nice, and we've heard and we've discussed that love can rebuke, love confronts with the best intentions. But you know what, brother?
That's good.
You're going through a terrible time right now, and I know, and I feel for you. We can be compassionate with people. We can be real and it's not a weakness. What would you rather? Someone saying, oh, that's okay, you're going to get there, you know, God thinks it's okay. No, you're going to say, God still loves you, but he can help you get rid of this addiction. He can help you get out of this pit. He can help you with your finance, and he can help you to be in a position to be fully healed. Are we just going to say half-truth, or are we going to be full-truth to that person? Because sometimes we feel like that, and I'll be honest, sometimes when we know that something is taken away from our brother and sister, it hurts our family, our loved ones, even our partners. We know that there's a root cause, and sometimes it's quite visible. We just know this. We can see it, right? Sometimes it's not always like this, but we can sometimes see that there's this thing that's trying to take hold of them and to get them really down. But love has been that God himself in us confronts in the best intent, in the best way possible, to let that light come in to their heart, to let that light come out of you, to light, the life goes into them, and the love just outpours like a broken vessel coming out. It oozes out, because the truth is God does want us to hold on to these things that are letting us down. But he uses people to be the example and have people set free and speak what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And that's a big thing for me. I can relate because I've done it. I've said stuff to people what they want to hear, but I was too ashamed of the power of the gospel. And like, I didn't want to look funny or stupid to say the full truth of what God mm-hmm. was about to say to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just position yourself to let him flow. So.
Yeah. It's so important to know mm-hmm. how to hear the voice of God. Just like what you're talking about, how if the devil can't beat you, he'll join you.
Yeah.
So, and he'll get you to overwork yourself and overwork and overwork and sometimes even not be where you're supposed to be. Mm. And then you burn out. With good intentions. Mm. And then another thing that you touched on, like discernment on whether or not to listen or to rebuke, you know? And I think that's probably the answer. Yeah. When it comes to should you just be a listener who just listens to them, mm. or should you rebuke them on the spot right there?
Yeah.
At what point do you?
Yeah, you definitely need to train yourself in discernment, because there's places in scripture like Jesus was reviled. It says when he was reviled, he did not revile in return, and Jesus even says, "Pray for those who persecute you." So. There's a moment where it's the running people out of the temple type, the rebukes. Mm. And then there's the other times where Jesus just says, pray for those who persecute you. Yeah. Don't revile in return. So there's this, it's like time and place, and the Holy Spirit knows best.
Yeah.
So just like how David was when his camp got invaded, all the wives and all the children were taken, and his own soldiers were wanting to kill him. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And asked the Lord, "Lord, should I pursue them?" So he asked God, "What should I do? What do I do?"
It's good.
Right? And then God says, "Yes, pursue them, for surely you shall overtake them." Right? So you need to go to God in those moments where you're like, yes. when even you feel like a doormat, and you just be like, "God, what do I do? They're really treating me wrong. Yeah. They're saying things to me that I don't agree with, and all of these different things. Father, what do you say? What do I do? Mm. I want to do what you do. I want to say what you say." So it's a time and place. It's also a relationship with the Father. And it's your love for that person that compels you to go to the Father and ask him what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And then from that position, you're under command rather than being in a position that's based on other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's what meekness is.
Yeah.
Jesus was meek. And what meekness is a controlled strength. So he could have whipped everyone. You know?
Yeah.
He could have whipped everyone that persecuted him. But there was a time and place always. And he has that ability, but he chooses not to.
Yeah, Jesus even says before he goes to the cross, don't you know that I can have three legions of angels come here right now?
Yeah.
But I have to do the will of my Father. See, yeah. Jesus Jesus had new time and place.
Yes.
He can bring down legions of angels whenever
Amen.
He likes.
Amen.
But time and place.
Yeah.
He's after the Father's heart, after the Father's will, wants to do what the Father wants him to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so I think the main point of this episode is like there is no set formula. Like it's all about being really close to God and hearing him specifically, because that's the only way you can walk in love. Because there's no like rigid rule set where you've got to be happy all the time, or you've got to you've got to rebuke all the time, or you've got to do this all the time. It's always as God directs.
Yes,
and love is a fruit of the Spirit, and the Spirit is alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's alive. He's not an idea.
Mm.
He's not a religion or principles.
Mm.
He's alive. And we'll get in. We'll finish with prayer, and I think we'll get Gerard to pray.
Alrighty, thank you, Lord. So, just to my friend listening to this podcast, if we hit some points that you resonate with, or you know, God's just working on your heart, you might even have been contemplating not going to church or not going to that Bible study or walking away from God or not pursuing this Christianity thing, not pursuing Jesus anymore. If those are your thoughts, this message is for you. God loves you and he wants the best for you. And his best is actually himself. And he wants to pour himself into you. And he wants to be the one that you can rely on. He wants to be the friend that you need, only if you let him. So right now, I feel like the Lord is saying that he's knocking on the door of your heart. And it's up to you whether you want to enter the door or not. So if you'd like to open the door to Jesus as your friend today, just pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I welcome you into my life. I open the door to you. Lord, I need help. Help to change me. Help me change my mind, my attitudes. I give everything to you, Lord. My life is not my own. I give it to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'm sorry for all the wrong stuff I've done, for all the mistakes I've committed. Father, forgive me. And I just receive your love today. And from this point forth, I am your child and you are my father. I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer, congratulations. Feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to help you out on your walk with God. The best is yet to come for you. There is a shift that happened in your life because you've prayed that prayer. And I really believe that things are going to turn around for you, my friend. It might suck right now. The Bible says there may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy is coming and it's near. Breakthrough is just around the corner. So let me pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for my friend on the other side of this podcast, listening to this in the car, at the gym, or in their house, wherever they are, Lord Father. And I thank you, God, in Jesus' name, for the relationship that you have forged before the foundation of the earth between them and you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you knew them before the foundation of the earth, and you knew the good works that they walk in, and you knew that they'd be listening to this podcast at this very moment in time, and you knew that they would be going through these type of struggles and all these different questionings, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that you've answered their questions, Lord, in Jesus' name. And for the others, for the questions that have yet to be answered, Father, I thank you for those to be answered too, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for the first step, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you are calling them to greatness, that you've called them into a divine purpose and destiny that they can't even imagine, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, I take authority over every spiritual darkness over their lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Every demonic force, I break those spirits now in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I just release life, love, and hope into them, Lord, in Jesus' name. A measure of hope that they cannot explain, Lord, in Jesus' name. A measure of peace, Lord, in Jesus' name. Peace that surpasses all understanding to rule their heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the next step in Jesus' name in their relationship. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for my friend on the other line. Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we give you glory and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I just have this word. There's someone on the end of this, other side of this. I feel like they're a baker of some sort. I see them working with bread, like a baker's delight. God loves you. He sees you and he wants to make himself known to you. And the Lord even says in scripture that no one can come to him unless the Father draws him in. So the Lord is drawing you to himself, and he wants to be in a relationship with you. And if that's you, I encourage you. And also, there's a person who's dreaming of starting a podcast just like this. Go for it, my friend. This is your confirmation. You're looking for a sign. This is it. Go for it. And God will guide you through in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I feel like there's God has a heart for the creatives at this moment in time. I feel like God is wanting people in media, wanting people in the arts, dance, in singing, and painting, and sculpting, and all the different avenues of art, music. There are people who are too scared to pursue these things, but God has put these dreams in your heart. God wants you to succeed, and he wants to be involved in these pursuits of yours, because he's the one who put these passion in your heart. So if you are a creative and you feel like this is speaking to you, God is wanting to be in a relationship with you, and he wants to be your business partner, if you want to put it that way. So Father, I thank you for loving them. I just release that word in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I actually want to share something too, because Holy Spirit is itching my heart to share this. So there was a question. You said, how can we walk in love, right? And like right now, the Holy Spirit just wanted me to share this, because I've experienced on like struggling to love someone. And so I asked the Holy Spirit, like, Holy Spirit, like, what do I do? What do I do? How can I love someone, right? And the verse that he gave me was Mark 12, 30 to 31. I'm reading from the Passion Version. He said, you are to love the Lord Yahweh, your God, with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, with every thought that is within you, and with all your strength. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second one is this: you must love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. You will never find a greater commandment than these. So what God showed me was, if this resonates with you, what showed me was you're struggling to love yourself. Yeah, because I had that same experience. I struggled to love myself, and that's why I struggled to love others. Not in a love where like, I'm the best, look at me. Not a narcissist kind of love. It's being content of who you are. You don't have to try to be someone else. You don't have to change the way you look. You were created in the image of God, so you don't have to change that. Love yourself in that way. Yeah, because yeah, God created you, and he will use you just the way you are, right? If you are struggling with love, then learn to love yourself first. So that's, yeah, that's what I wanted to share. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we love because he first loved us.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so thank you guys for watching. Just like what Gerard said, send us an email. We'd love to get to know what you got from this. And if you prayed that prayer, let us know as well. Let us know what God's doing in your life. It encourages us.
What's the email?
Our email is contact@harvestnowchurch.com.
contact@harvestnowchurch.com.
Contact. All right. See you guys next time.
Whee!
Ciao.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at contact@harvestnowchurch.com to suggest a topic to talk about or to ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.